free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we see from CNN a 64-year-old man accidentally ejected himself from a fighter jet at 2,500 feet. It was a surprise company outing. I'm sure it was a surprise when he ejected himself at 2,500 feet out of a fighter jet. The guy basically was given this as a surprise by the people he works with, his colleagues. And as he was taking the fighter jet flight, he became panicked. I'd imagine. And he was reaching around for things to hold or whatever, and he pushed the panic button, and he got ejected out. And this, folks, is where we find ourselves as where the whole world finds itself today. We got into this jet with Fauci, the CDC, who have consistently lied to us forever. And now, after the politicians have pushed the ejector button and ejected us. Don't worry. They've got golden parachutes. They're actually still in the plane. They're still flying around. They're having, you know, doing whatever they want to do. They'll be fine. Don't worry about Trump. Don't worry about Schumer, Pelosi, McConnell, don't worry about them. They'll be fine. They've taken care of themselves. They've got treatments, as President Trump pointed out, Boris Johnson. We got treatments you don't know about. And so they're going to be fine. They've got their stash of medical supplies and food. They've got their underground bunkers, deep undermined bases and so forth. The government is going to protect itself. What they're not going to do is protect you. They've hit the panic button. And they have ejected us. And we have had everybody in the media, from Peggy Noonan, Wall Street Journal, down to fellow independent journalists pushing the panic button. And I'm not sure that we've got a parachute. I'm really not sure. You know, I'm looking at this $2 trillion bill. I see a lot of golden parachutes in there for Wall Street. I see a lot of golden parachutes in there for big business, even Trump's hotels. They've redefined them as small business so they could feed at the trough. I don't see any protections for the guy who does pressure washing and detailing and cleaning and has to support seven kids and is told by the police that he's going to be, next time they catch him out working, he's going to go to jail. And this is the state that we see ourselves in. This is not about social distancing, folks. This is about Constitution distancing. It's about getting as far away from the Constitution as possible. And you better understand that as they put the mask on you, these people are the ones with the real masks. They have a hidden agenda. And as we panic and push these buttons, yes, we should be concerned about bioweapons, but we should not panic about this. If we're concerned about bioweapons, what we should do is we should shut down this unconstitutional agency, the NIH, that is funding the bioweapon research. It was the NIH. After it was banned in 2014 when Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, put out their statement about how they had created a chimera, combining the DNA of a coronavirus with a bat. And fellow scientists and bioethicists hammered them on that, said that was supposed to be shut down. And Francis Collins, who's head of the NIH, said, I determined I would go forward with several of these projects. And it turns out they're not only funding that in the United States, they're funding it in China. But folks, that is just, if you're upset about the disease, shut them down. Don't shut down America. They're using that as a beard. And people who are panicking and pushing the button are the ones who are going to kill us all. Kill us all, because they're gonna, next thing they're gonna push, they're gonna use this bioweapon finger pointing to start a war between the US and China. That's how they get out of the depression.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, April 14th, year of our Lord, 2020. I'm David Knight, your host. Today, we see what happens after the fraud. I'm not saying Fauci's gone. I'm sorry, he's not there. President Fauci has decided that for the time being, he is not going to fire President Trump, although he will interfere with the election if given a chance. But President Trump, everybody got excited for a moment. President Trump retweeted something that had a hashtag, Fire Fauci. People go, is he going to fire Fauci? I've said that eventually something like that will happen. He will blame Fauci for his failures. Because understand, President Trump is standing behind Fauci. He is giving Fauci his authority. He is doing everything that Fauci wants. He's deferring to him, even when it comes to the WHO. It was the real clear politics reporter who asked a question to President Trump. So what is it about the WHO and so forth? And now President Trump is starting to talk about the WHO. But when he was asked that question about a week and a half ago, President Trump said, I think that Tedros at WHO, he's a really good guy. Isn't he a good guy, Tony? You know, Tony, come up here to the mic. Here, let's move the microphone down a little bit for Tony. Okay, Tony, tell everybody what a great guy he is. Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, I've known him forever. Yeah, we've been through many pandemics that have never panned out, but we're going to shut everything down. We're going to win this one. Sounds like a football coach. We've been working real hard. We're going to win this one this week. We're going to win it by shutting everything down, locking everything down until not one single person has the disease. You got to get your soul vaccination. Roll up your sleeve. And if you ain't dancing to their tune, you just might have the disease. And so, President Fauci is still in place. He's not ready to fire President Trump yet. But President Trump is eventually, as he always does, after he puts these people who are antithetical to everything that he says that he supports in office, and after they do horrible things, then after a while he will say, well, this guy was always an idiot. He was a jerk. He's fired, and completely trash talk him. I can't wait to see that happen, frankly, but we just can't wait. And now many of these people who have been at the forefront of draconian measures following in lockstep behind China. And I understand the psychology here. I said from the very beginning, and I had John Rappaport on, and he's talked about this. He said, look, just because China is doing these measures, that in and of itself does not prove that this is serious. You understand that? And I say, the pageant, the wag the dog pageant here does not prove that old Xu is really still in the country, or even that he died on the plane coming back, or whatever the moment of the pageant is. Government actions and government photo ops and mainstream media stories do not prove it. They do not prove it. And I said when it happened, all these people were like, why would China lock down its entire country? I said, do you ever hear of the Great Leap Forward? You've heard me talk about this many times. They killed 80 million people. Why? Why? Well, it was the arrogance of central planning. But fundamentally, it was to establish his power over society, that he could dictate to anybody anything and do anything to them and get away with it. Because he had all the guns, and as Mao said, power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And make no mistake about it, as we look at the arguments for this lockdown, they are the same arguments that have been used for gun control forever. Oh, we had 12 people killed in a shooting. Let's take the guns from everybody. Let's lock down the Second Amendment forever. We might let you out with some permissions. Taking it totally out of context as to what's going on. 12 people died. How many people protected innocent life with a firearm? How many people protected innocent life without even firing their firearm? I've told the story before about my grandfather who protected his life after his brother-in-law was murdered He was on a collection route, and he found a guy waiting for him in his car to do the same thing to him. He, by the way, had found his brother-in-law. The police couldn't find the body. He was the one who found the body. But anyway, he pulled out his gun, and he didn't shoot the guy. He just said, if I ever see you again, I'm not going to give you a warning. I'll shoot first. The guy was hiding with a hatchet behind his seat. So those types of stories are not even reported for the most part. So they take these stories about shootings out of context. The same thing is being done with the coronavirus. They take it out of context. We see one person died, two people died. Out of how many? Out of 1 million people in a town? Out of 30 million people in a state? What is the context here? What is the fatality rate? Well, no context for that. How many people die from other things? Yeah, thousands of people have died from coronavirus. And of course, those are presumed deaths. The CDC always estimates and presumes their statistics. But we have a lot of people who take that as gospel truth. And always have. So when we look at this, a lot of people are starting to realize, and I pointed this out yesterday, I said, you look at the places where they've enacted the most draconian shutdown and lockdowns. China, Italy, Spain, New York City. They also happen to be the places with the highest death rate. It hasn't made any difference. As a matter of fact, there's a story out today about a woman in Charlotte who remained isolated for 3 weeks. She never went, at the very beginning of all this stuff, she put herself in a safe place and hid. And then she tested positive for coronavirus. So it is not a prescription. It is a prescription for starvation. And this is what's happening in Spain now. Spain has lifted their lockdown for non-essential workers amid harsh debate and fears of a new wave of COVID-19 cases. Staff in food distribution, communication, sanitation, other non-essential sectors are now allowed to go to work in Spain. Let me repeat this. These are sectors that in Spain they said were non-essential. Food distribution, not essential. See, these people will do anything, to put themselves in power and to destroy these countries by making themselves more powerful. I've said this is, stop talking about saving the economy. That's an abstraction. And everybody understands this as just being the stock market. It's not about the stock market. It's not about people's retirement portfolios. It's about people being able to live, having a job where they can buy food, having a business that they've worked for all their lives and saved. It's about that. And it's about being able to actually have the food distributed. It's not that we don't have so many migrant workers that we can't pick the food anymore. That's not the problem, you've got dairies having to pour milk down the drain, or you have produce farms in Florida having to plow under their crops. It's that they don't have any restaurants to sell it to. They're not allowed in some jurisdictions to sell groceries. The restaurants aren't, like the takeout at the fast food places. And these people don't have any way to repackage it or to distribute it. So in Spain, they thought the food distribution was not essential. They thought that sanitation was not essential. They should go back and look at Farr's Law, that was formulated when they had a cholera epidemic in London in the 1800s. People were dying because of the unsanitary sewer system there. And yet in Spain, they didn't think that sanitation was an essential sector. See, the only thing that is essential are the public health bureaucrats and the cops with uniforms that become their Stasi police. It's absolutely amazing, but now they're starting to pull this back. Even Cuomo said, and I reported this yesterday, Infowars.com, every coronavirus projection has been 100% wrong at this point. When he was talking to Rudy Giuliani, Cuomo said, yeah, it's kind of like weather. They tell us that a hurricane is coming and then it doesn't come on the same day or doesn't hit the right area. I've mentioned that. Yeah, it's very much like the weather, and we've seen all of this before. We've seen the climate projections. When they can't predict the weather, they predict what the weather's going to be like in 50 years or 20 years or 30 years. They did it decades out. We've now seen that's false. And now we have seen that their projections about all of this are false. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's next year's pandemic, honkypox. Make sure you don't get it. You dance to Fauci's tune. He's going to tell you if you can have a house party or not. And we've got a competition that has opened up now between Cuomo and President Trump, as Cuomo is politically what's going on here, folks. Is, of course, this is posturing by Cuomo after the pathetic streamings from Biden in his basement where he can't even string together his talking points into a coherent sentence. I mean, it's really, but I don't know what his medical condition is. I'm not a doctor. I've had a lot of people reminding me of that lately. but you don't have to be a doctor to know there's something wrong with Biden. Just take a look at his speeches a couple of years ago. And so the Democrats have looked at, hell, let's get Cuomo. They dearly loved his father, Mario the Great, right? Mario was so eloquent. He was so wise. He was so emotive, and compassionate. And, of course, therefore, his sons have to be exactly the same way, right? Even if that wasn't true of Mario. So the Democrats just love the Cuomos. So this is part of it. Cuomo, I tweeted out last week, maybe it was a week before. I said, I can't believe this. It was when Fredo was on. And I'm watching. I go in to clean my coffee cup after the show. Wake Up America Coffee, by the way, some of the best coffee you're ever going to find at InfoWarsStore.com. That being said, when I go in to clean my coffee cup, I see Fox News every day covering Cuomo. But this particular day, I see the two Cuomos, Governor and Fredo. And Fredo was freaking out about his brush with death the previous night, the bad dreams that he had, the fever that he had. There you go. That's the Cuomos and the father there. His brush with death and how he had such a bad night. And I'm surprised they didn't throw me off of Twitter. I just said, shut up, Fredo, you're fine. I tweeted that out when somebody put it up. But I just couldn't believe I had put it out before that. I said, seriously, this is now Fox News? They're going to have a drama queen like Fredo talking to his brother, and they're just running this live? You know, that's all they've got at Fox News? Seriously? But anyway, Cuomo is positioning himself out there to run against President Trump because a lot of people are not really sure. I mean, you look at the state that Biden is in. Is he going to be able to participate in the debates with President Trump if they, you know, if they remove the lockdown so these people can get in the same room, right? And a lot of people, I think, are taking bets as to whether or not he's even going to be able to survive till the election in the current age and state of health that he appears to be in, let alone, you know, even if he gets COVID-19 or whatever, right? He's done. So they're looking for Cuomo, and I think there's a move that they want to try to edge out Biden somehow. I don't know on what basis they're going to do, but, you know, hey, the law, that doesn't mean anything. The rules, they can make up their own rules. They can pick whoever they want. They got a lot of superdelegates. They got a lot of Bernie people who are really angry at Biden and the DNC, so maybe this would be a way for them to make up for that. But anyway, Cuomo is now trying to take the point on all of this. And as I pointed out yesterday, you know, he's saying, well, they've been 100% wrong on all of this, and it's time for us to reopen the economy. The worst is over, says Cuomo. There's now a competition between Cuomo as a leader of several of these Democrat, heavily authoritarian, progressive northeastern states. Now they're saying that they are in a race with President Trump as to who can reopen the economy the first. And this is a competition I would like to see because they should have never shut the economy down. And now it's a contest to see as to who can do it and who has the authority to do it. We'll talk about that in a moment, but you know, the when you go back to what Cuomo has been saying, and again, this is a story that was up yesterday, actually over the weekend, Cuomo went on with Giuliani on his radio program, 9-minute interview. The story is up on InfoWars.com. Cuomo said, all the projections, by the way, all those statisticians have been 100% wrong at this point. And actually, he's wrong about that. The projections for the hospitalization, they were 200% wrong to 1,000% wrong. not 100% wrong. They were 200%. They overestimated the number of hospital beds state-by-state basis. Went back, talked about this last week. On a state-by-state basis, they overestimated the number of hospital beds a minimum of 2 times, up to a maximum of 10 times in Washington State. Here in Texas, it was overestimated by a factor of 9. So they weren't 100% wrong. They were 200% to 1,000% wrong in their overestimations. Not a single projection on one of these states came in any closer than a 200% overestimation. Nothing was underestimated. It was all overestimated by at least a factor of 2. And then when it gets to the ventilators, that was overestimated by a factor of 40. 4,000%. They were 4,000% wrong, Governor Cuomo. Anyway, he goes, and we've been following the models because this is the only blueprint, but they haven't turned out to be correct. That is the misunderstatement of the century so far. So far. We've shut down the world because we were given these end-of-the-world projections. We're all going to die because of our models, right? Where have we heard this before? As I said, we've heard this from the climate alarmists. And all you have to do is take the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, that's been making all these dire projections about climate change and temperature change and all this sort of thing. Just substitute the IPCC for put the CDC in there instead of the IPCC. Change it from climate, we're all going to die, to coronavirus, we're all going to die. And you can leave all the rest of the solutions, quote unquote, for these imaginary problems in place. And he goes on to say, sort of like the old days when we tried to predict a storm by listening to the weather forecast. And as I pointed out, I've been to the American Meteorological Society. They're meeting here in Austin. I've watched literally thousands of scientists. They had a couple hundred of them doing presentations. There were a whole bunch of people that fill the floor with kind of like a science fair where, you know, the people who don't have a presentation that is established, they have a chart there and they can stand there with their chart. And if you've got any questions, you ask them about their models. They're modeling this stuff and they're saying, well, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, look at this factor and that factor. I'm going to feed that into my computer model. And then I'm going to predict what the weather is going to be 2 days, 3 days from now. And then they look to see what the weather is going to be. And then they find out that they were wrong and they try to adjust that model. When you try to do that decades in advance, it took us a long time to call BS on this. But we knew from the very beginning, just like we knew from the very beginning, and I've been saying this from the very beginning, that the CDC models and assumptions, their data, they didn't have any data because they don't have any way to test anything. And their assumptions on how this was to spread were garbage. You put garbage into a model, you get garbage out. We'll be right back.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, as we see, Cuomo and 6 Democratic governors and President Trump now saying we've got to reopen the economy. They are admitting, explicitly admitting, as Cuomo did, look, all the models are wrong. You know, it's like predicting the weather. They don't know what's going on. It's like predicting climate change, quite frankly, is really what it's about. You have models. Those models are no better than their assumptions and the data that goes into them. And we know that the models that were being used, we've had epidemiologists. These people are, you know, for those of you who think that it's wrong to question the CDC, let me explain to you. An epidemiologist is somebody who studies epidemics. They do it for a living. But we don't have to even go down that road. We can look at, and I will comment more on this later, the whole idea that these numbers are presented to you without any context. And so we called it from the very beginning. We said, how can you make these projections? You haven't done any testing. You're going simply on observing what the Chinese have done. The Chinese have enacted the most authoritarian shutdown that we've ever seen. Millions of people shut down. Was it warranted? I don't know. They killed 80 million people for nothing in the mid-50s. That doesn't prove anything that they made that action. But see, the press and the government and the people who are creating these models said, see, that proves it. And then we're going to shut down just like the Chinese did. And then when nothing happens, we will declare victory and we'll say we're the ones who flattened the curve. We're the ones who won. And that's exactly what Cuomo is saying now. And that's what Trump is going to say, too. They're going to start debating about who could have shut it down faster and harder. And they're also arguing about who has the authority to open this up. A coalition of six Democratic governors in the Northeast announced a working group yesterday to craft plans on eventually loosening social distancing measures. Now, I'm sorry, that's not social distancing. Let's stop calling it social distancing. Let's call it constitution distancing measures. And reopening businesses in their states, putting them on a collision course with President Trump, who said that it is his decision when to reopen states. And so Cuomo said, to the extent that we can do that together, that's the best course, no doubt. Oh, we want to be smart about this and cooperative. But, you know, I'm the one who did this. I'm the one who saved everybody. Even though he says all the models were wrong. Well, if the models were wrong and your actions were based on the models that were 100% wrong, actually, as I pointed out, anywhere from 200% to 4,000% wrong. If your actions are based on models that failed that badly, then you didn't save us. You harmed us. You should have never shut us down. We shouldn't be fighting about who gets the credit for reopening the country. I mean, this is truly an authoritarian perspective, isn't it? I'm going to put my name on that welfare check after I've destroyed your job and your business. And you can come back begging to me, you know, for a living. This is the way these people are operating. Both Trump and these governors, all of them are acting like this. We need to be deciding who we blame for doing this. And quite frankly, they all get the blame. And so he says, let's be smart. Let's be cooperative. Let's learn from one another. Okay, great. We could also learn from the Constitution, maybe. Cuomo said that other states can join the coalition as well. But he acknowledged that the rules of the road are unlikely to work exactly the same everywhere. Oh, yeah, that's why we have the 10th Amendment. And he said Governor Murphy, who has been one of the most authoritarian governors, not as bad, I think, as Whitmer, although it's debatable. I mean, you know, Murphy was the one who said, we're going to send the cops by to confiscate your supplies. If you provided for yourself, you ants, well, we will send the grasshoppers around with machine guns and thugs, and we'll rob your provisions if we need them. I give myself that power. We've had, as I point out yesterday, Whitmer has banned even homeschooling after she shuts down all homes, all public schools and all private schools and so forth. No, you don't do homeschooling either. I just sat there. Anyway, Murphy says the house is still on fire. We have to put the fire out, but we do have to begin putting in place the pieces of the puzzle that we know we're going to need. These people have put the house on fire and they have fiddled around like Nero. Nero, Governor Nero of New Jersey, Governor Nero of New York, and President Nemo, Nero, not Nemo, yeah. They've got us 20,000 leagues under the debt. Cuomo said, it's an interesting construct that it wasn't the federal responsibility to close the economy, but it is the federal government's responsibility to open the economy. If it's your authority to open, why wasn't it your authority to close? And on this point, Cuomo is exactly right. You know, I've had, as I talk about this, and I say, you know, President Trump is shutting the economy down. And people who are fans of Trump, and that does not include me, as you heard yesterday and many days before this, I've basically lost all confidence in President Trump because he has lost all connection to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It is total 100% constitution distancing now going on with government at every level. And at every level, you hear these petty tyrants as they're bullying people on open beaches who are standing there by themselves. We have orders from the president of the United States and from the CDC and from the governor of this state and from the local public health county. And I'm going to fine you $1,000, or in the case of the Mounties in Canada, up to $1 million. $1 million. Now, that may be Canadian dollars, but that's still a chunk of change. Can you imagine that? $1 million if you don't obey their quarantine rules. I saw that. I thought that somebody got that wrong. They had a link to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And Dudley Do Right is actually saying that he is going to literally tie Nell to the tracks and run over her with a $1 million train. 3 years in jail, $1 million fine. But as people have talked about this, I said, well, you understand that President Trump is trying to have it both ways, just like Fauci and these public health bureaucrat dictators. These are guidelines, they're recommendations, but you know, you better do what we say or we're going to fine you and we're going to jail you. Those are just our recommendations, our guidelines. It is civil law. And we have seen this, and I've been talking about this for a very long time. The same thing we have seen with civil asset forfeiture. And prior to that, prior to the war on drugs, we had the IRS saying, yeah, we will determine what your income is if we disagree with you. And then you are guilty until proven innocent. You have no presumption of innocence. You'll have to come to our court. You'll have to do that. Well, that's been taken by all the different bureaucracies. It became part of the war on drugs with civil asset forfeiture. They said, these are rules, they're not laws. And so you don't have any due process under this because these are bureaucratic rules. And you have no protection against excessive fines, you know, like the FCC saying $20,000 if you don't register your small drone, and we see you with that, or the Mounties. You know, of course, they don't have our Constitution. But we don't have it anymore either. You better understand. So this has been going on for quite some time. It's also what is involved with CPS when they steal your kids. You know, with civil asset forfeiture, they steal your house, your car, your money, your plane, whatever. They charge that with a crime. And then you have to sue them in civil court because they say, oh, it's not a law. You know, that your inanimate object broke a bureaucratic rule. So we took that inanimate object for our own use. And they do the same thing with your kids. You are not, as I've pointed out more often than I can recall, that when they take the children, they don't tell the parents why they took the children. They have to go through a lot to even discover what the allegations against them are, because there is no due process in that. They just take the kids, again, for their own use. And so when we look at this and we say, well, this is guidelines and this is recommendations, this is the same kind of fraud that they've been using on us with the war on drugs, with a pedophile war on our children, with the IRS, with all these different three-letter agencies forever. And they're all very well acquainted with how this works. Understand that when the president puts out guidelines and recommendations, those are, in fact, executive orders, because that's how they're treated by everybody. Yeah, they're not legitimate executive orders, but you understand we're under martial law now. It may not be a declared martial law, but it is a de facto martial law nevertheless. And these guidelines and recommendations are de facto executive orders. But President Trump wants to say, well, they're the ones who close it. I'm the one who's opening it. That ain't going to fly. That's right. They want to keep you under their thumb. That's Fauci. He's going to keep you under his thumb until he's got a vaccine. He might loosen things up a little bit, but he's going to also put them back on again. As I said, on and off like a switch. He's going to say, well, it's going to be back in the fall sometime. And understand that we can't ever really get rid of all of this stuff until there's not a single case of coronavirus anywhere. Michael Savage, who is an epidemiologist, somebody who studies epidemics, has said that Fauci has set up an impossible standard because he doesn't ever want this to end. No, he doesn't want it to end until he's got a vaccine, until he has mandatory vaccines, and using that as biometric tracking, which is the agenda that Bill Gates has had there. Folks, if you want to make sure that you are protected against any of this, the health effects of what is happening right now. One of the most effective things you can do is not necessarily to hide in your house. You need to do things to improve your health, make your body more healthy, help your immune system to be able to cope. There are things like zinc that are antiviral. That's what Dr. Zelenko, the New York physician who was talking about hydroxychloroquine, he said, look, I looked at what three other countries were doing with hydroxychloroquine. I looked at the amounts that they were doing. Here's what I did. You know, had hydroxychloroquine. I had azithromycin for the secondary infections, and then zinc because we know it's antiviral. It's been known for a very long time. It's just those three things. He said, you know, first it was 200, then it was 350 patients, then it was 700, 100% cure. And he said, and we can do this before anybody really gets sick, before we overload the hospital systems and so forth. And he was vilified for that, even in his own small community, very small community. They said, shut up, don't talk about this. Well, you know, I have an article here from LouRockwell.com talking about how what is being sold to us is a very narrow vaccine-only paradigm. However, in 2010, we had a collaboration of university-based researchers in the Netherlands and the USA reported that the combination of the trace mineral zinc plus a zinc transport molecule that facilitates zinc's entry into cells efficiently impairs the replication of RNA viruses like the coronavirus, COVID-19. And that's one of the reasons why Zelenko used that. If you want to, it's very hard to find zinc now, just as straight up zinc. I haven't been able to find it anywhere. We're out. So I get my zinc through Prostagard. Because as part of this demographic that they say is at risk, elderly men like myself, and might as well own it. The numbers don't lie. But elderly men who have prostate issues, who have, you know, saw palmetto, other things like that are in there to help you. Plus zinc, you get 100% of your recommended daily allowance of zinc, and you can get that in Prostagard. There's other things as well. Vitamin D3, winter sun, is now back in stock. It's 50% off. And as it's been pointed out, recent articles by the CDC, the former CDC chief, Dr. Tom Frieden, and a public health specialist at the esteemed National Institute of Health, where Fauci preaches, right? Dr. John C. Umha. They highlight the usefulness of sun exposure. You know, that's one of the things. Maybe you saw the link on the Drudge Report. People are saying, we need to redesign the building so we get healthier. We need to have fresh air and sunlight. You know, the very things that the police around this country are beating people for getting. You go out on the beach by yourself and they beat you. I mean, or arrest you or fine you. That's what Huckabee is suing. I can't even walk in my own backyard. He's got beachfront property. And the cops are on private property, threatening the owners of the private property to not come out of their house and get sunlight and fresh air. No, actually, sun exposure and or vitamin D supplementation reduce your risk of any of these virus things. And it's not because it directly kills the virus. It does not have a direct effect on the virus. What it does is it strengthens and it calms and orders your immune system. This is what these doctors are pointing out. So people who have autoimmune disease, it's virtually always, according to NIH publications, it is almost always preceded by a deficiency in vitamin D. And after people have gotten autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or some of these other things, they found that the symptoms are ameliorated by having vitamin D supplementation. And so, as they point out in this article from McCullough, they say it does strengthen immune function, allowing the host body to combat the virus more effectively. And it also suppresses inflammatory processes. That's what I mean, when it gets the immune system out of whack. So take a look at those products at InfoWarsStore.com, products that are going to help your body to fight infection while you help to fund free speech to fight oppression. InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, let's get back to what is happening. Is this going to open up? Now we have a competition between Cuomo and Trump while Biden is basically taking a powder. I don't know. Is he snoozing? I don't know what's going on. But Cuomo has now taken the leadership. And so the two of them are going back and forth with each other. And President Trump tweeted out, for the purpose of creating conflict and confusion, some in the fake news media are saying that it is the governor's decision to open up the states, not that of the president of the United States and the federal government. Let it be fully understood that this is incorrect. Now, let me tell you what I believe is true based on the Constitution. I believe that even though there is a 10th Amendment, these governors all these public servants, all the way down to law enforcement agents who are doing this. They have sworn an oath to the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, and their state constitution. The 10th Amendment gives broad leeway to states to do things that are not defined powers by the federal government. That's one of the reasons why the federal government pushed out just prior to 9/11. They put it together, and then they pushed it out right after 9/11, the Model State Emergency Powers Act, saying, we want you guys to do this. We want your public health officials to be put in charge of when to shut down everything. And they let this this Trojan horse, this virus, if you will, sat there silently for 20 years until it reared its ugly head. And so there is, that is the way that technically this has been done. But we all understand that this is de facto undeclared martial law. It's coming from guidelines and recommendations from the president and from Fauci, actually. So it is a de facto executive order. But what President Trump could do as president, he could go back and remind people that we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights. You know, Attorney General Barr has said he's going to look into violations of people who were persecuted unjustly for trying to have Easter services. I talked about that yesterday. Even showing up in a parking lot where nobody gets out of their car, where they have the windows rolled up, where they're listening to the sermon on their FM radio. And they said, no, no, no. We're going to take your licenses and we're going to hit you with fines, $500 per person in the car. And we're going to get your license plate, and then we're going to put you under a two-week quarantine, house arrest, because you went to an Easter service and you sat in your car with your windows rolled up. And I don't hold my breath that Attorney General Barr is going to do anything about that. I haven't seen any action done by anybody in the Trump administration against the deep state. They talk about it all the time. I've never seen anything done. So I don't know if he's going to do anything about it, but understand, he has the duty to do something about that. He should do something about that under the Constitution. We have this check and balance, and part of that is one branch of government needs to tell the other one, stop violating the rights of people. The state can tell the federal government to stop violating our rights. The federal government can tell the state to stop violating our rights, and they should do that. And as president, President Trump ought to have Jared Kushner print out a copy of the Constitution, bring it to him so he can read it. And under that, he should say, you don't have the right to shut this down and to create martial law, you know, without actually declaring it. That's the key thing. These people have never declared martial law, so there is no authority for any of these constitution-destroying things that they've done, this constitution distancing that they have done. There's no authority for that. There's no declaration of martial law. And so President Trump could shut this down by saying, I hereby declare the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in effect, and we'll take action against any governor, against any mayor, against any city councilman or police officer who violates that Constitution. But he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. And of course, Cuomo is not going to do that either. Trump says, I have total authority. So instead of appealing to the Constitution as the king, President Trump wants to establish himself as the king. Because, you know, people in power will always make two mistakes rather than admit to one. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, so President Trump said he's going to make this decision shortly. It was reported by Fox News and many others that the new task force that is going to decide which rights that they've turned into privileges, they will now graciously allow us, which privileges they will give us back after they transform them into privileges. And that council was going to include Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, Cabinet Secretaries Steve Mnuchin, Ben Carson, Wilbur Ross, Elaine Chao. It's Mitch McConnell's wife. No nepotism going on here, right? Between Jared and Ivanka and Elaine Chao. And then you got a couple of bankers. The only person on there I trust is Ben Carson. But Ben Carson should not have the authority to decide whether or not I can work or you can work or whether we can earn a living or whether we can produce food or have a restaurant that is open or go sit in a restaurant. All these rules that have become increasingly absurd. You know, closing down the number of entrances and exits into these big box retailers, creating fire hazards. And actually, instead of maintaining social distancing by cutting down the number of openings and creating these little narrow walkways there, they're actually decreasing social distancing. But it's not about social distancing. It's about constitution distancing. And so President Trump said, well, at least it was reported by insiders, reported by Fox News. And then President Trump said yesterday at the daily press conference that he has on this, he says that it is not going to include Ivanka and Jared. They have not been invited on the council. I guess it's going to conflict with Bilderberg this year. Jared needs to go to Bilderberg. So the, you know, the council on reopening is called Opening Our Country Council. These are the economy czars. They will decide when and how much to open the country and who gets to have a job. Because, you know, we've already decided that the big businesses, which, by the way, now because of this bailout, they do not count as big businesses, even though, you know, a small business is always defined as somebody less than 500 employees. No. They redid this for a lot of these chains, you know, for McDonald's and for the Trump hotel chains. They decided that if you've got less than 500 employees, then you at a particular site, you qualify for a small business bailout. And so the Opening Our Country Council, the czars, will not include, for the time being anyway, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, because, you know, she had already said she was going to be the czaress of small business. She was going to bail out small business because she's such an authority on all of that. And that really is what is happening here, folks. As I pointed out, you know, Scott Adams said it's getting harder and harder to distinguish freedom lovers, quote unquote, from sociopaths. Because, you know, if you talk about liberty, you're a sociopath. You're going to kill me. We're all going to die. If you have your freedom, we're all going to die. So stay in your home, take your vaccine, turn in your gun, because if you love freedom, you are a sociopath. You are a terrorist. And I replied to him and I said, it's becoming harder and harder to distinguish pragmatists from totalitarians, people who are authoritarian in every issue of life. And so President Trump says when somebody is president of the United States, the authority is total. He said that at the White House conference. The governors know that. President Trump, you are so off base from the Constitution. There is no total power for the presidency. You have not been elected dictator in chief. I know that's the way that you've governed. I know that's the way all the presidents have governed. But you are not the dictator. You do not have total authority. And you're absolutely wrong on this. Trump has been warned by people in his White House staff that there is a revolution building, small business, and it's high time. Let's understand, folks, that we don't need to beg this president who thinks he has total authority over our life. We need to just show up, open up our businesses. We need to stand in public. I drive around every day with a top down on my convertible, no mask, everywhere. I don't ever put on a mask for anybody. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Freedom is never given. It is only taken. And it is always taken at risk. People who fought the American Revolution did it in the midst of a smallpox epidemic. The people who fought against Santa Ana at the Alamo knew that there was a 100% chance of death. But freedom was more important to them. And you ask yourself, I know this generation doesn't understand that. That just doesn't make any sense to them. Because nobody is connected to their children, to future generations, to society. They believe that it's all about them. They love themselves. They love their life. They want to do everything that they can to preserve their life, and they will step on anybody around them in order to do it. That's why you have people saying that if you love freedom, you are a sociopath. You are a sociopath if you love freedom. Yeah, because it's those sociopaths that fought back against the British. They fought back against Santa Anna, those sociopaths. And so Laura Ingraham tweeted out at some point, the president's going to have to look at Drs. Fauci and Birx and say, we're opening on May 1st. Give me your best guidance on protocols, but we cannot deny our people their basic freedoms any longer. Why should we wait to May 1st, Laura? They should never have been taken away in the first place. There was no justification. Cuomo says, yeah, you know, they missed it. Just like, you know, we tell everybody, hey, there's a hurricane coming, so we take precautions. When there's a hurricane coming, is it in the future, is it going to be now the case that the National Guard is going to come in and point guns at you and make you lock down because the hurricane is coming? You've got to stay in your home? We've always taken the attitude in this country that advice is given, but not orders. And I don't take orders, and you shouldn't take orders either. Americans need to start pushing back against draconian lockdowns, writes the Federalist. They said the incessant bleeding of prominent health leaders, quote unquote, over the lack of federal control in this crisis only underscores how little they understand or respect this country's constitution and the freedoms it seeks to protect. A state has many plenary powers under the 10th Amendment, right? Those powers are not given to the federal government. That's why there's no authority for the CDC to exist. There's no authority for the NIH to exist or the FDA to exist. You know, health is a function that is to be done by the state government. There's nothing in the Constitution that delegated those powers to the federal government. It could all be done by the state government. It could all be done by private organizations, just like we have Underwriters Lab, certified electric appliances and things like that. You can have that done by an individual private organization that actually has some credibility, like a federal organization that is open to bribery and corruption. You know, the people at Underwriters Lab, they've got a reputation to protect. The people in the federal government don't have a reputation to protect. No matter how badly they fail to protect the public, that is, if they fail miserably, that's just an excuse for why they need to have more people. And they need to have more money. Because it was lack of funding that caused that failure to happen. That's always the reply. But as they point out in the Federalist, the state's plenary powers are nevertheless, even though they have police powers, they are still limited by the U.S. Constitution and by the state constitution. But absent those restrictions in those two constitutions, the power is very broad. Ordering lockdowns, then, is within the state's authority, not that of the federal government. Bill Gates, Fauci, anyone else advocating for federally mandated lockdown either doesn't understand the Constitution's structure or doesn't respect it. Again, that's the whole thing. Either they're ignorant of it or they don't respect it. And I think it is that they don't respect it. I don't think President Trump respects it. Maybe he's just ignorant. But I don't think he respects the Constitution that he swore an oath to. When he says, as president, I have a total authority. I can shut the country down or I can open the country down. I can tell you how long it's going to stay down or I can open it up. He does not respect the Constitution. As the Federalist points out, this is essentially the, quote, laboratory of the states, unquote, at work, as Justice Louis Brandeis wrote. Brandeis wrote, it is one of the happy incidents of the federal system that a single courageous state may, if its citizens choose, serve as a laboratory and try novel social and economic experiments without any risk to the rest of the country. For example, if those of you in California and New York want to have government-provided health care, go ahead. Don't force it on me, though. You don't have the authority to do that. You don't have the authority for Obamacare. You don't have the authority for any of this stuff. And, folks, we have gone way beyond Obamacare. Do you realize that? Not only have the Republicans consistently failed to do that because they never wanted to. Paul Ryan was always running interference for this. Paul Ryan was the vice presidential running mate of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan were picked because Mitt Romney had already put in Obamacare in Massachusetts with Ted Kennedy. And so we were going to have Obamacare, whether it was Obamacare, whether it was RomneyCare. And then after Paul Ryan was made, because the establishment, the Republican establishment, didn't want to get rid of Obamacare either. That's why they put Paul Ryan in as Speaker. He made sure that nothing was going to happen to Obamacare. But let me tell you something. This is far worse than Obamacare. Not only has the government taken over health care, they're going to presume to force treatments on you. They can withhold treatment. They can force treatment on you. They can use the medical establishment to create a de facto martial law. They can use the medical establishment to create dragnet surveillance, biometric surveillance, social credit system, martial law by de facto. This is much worse than Obamacare. But this is what government control of healthcare was always pointing towards. As I point out here, this week we've seen multiple lawsuits crop up across the nation. Talked about it yesterday. We have Mike Huckabee and other homeowners with him suing the state of North Carolina because they're not allowed to get on their own private beaches. They've got police trespassing on their private property without any reason, without any warrant, threatening and intimidating them. You have, that was actually not North Carolina. It was, he's in Florida. In North Carolina, another group of people are suing because the county there, Dare County, is saying, how dare you? Even if you own a residence here, unless this is your permanent residence and you can show us a North Carolina driver's license, we're not going to let you into your North Carolina home that you own here. And so they're suing about that. And then, of course, we've seen lawsuits pop up from these two churches in that small town of Greenville, Mississippi, where the police have gone in and threatened people. We also have people in other areas who are suing. But the question is, why aren't more Americans suing about this lockdown? It really should be happening. Telegraph, UK. The government should be calling off the dogs, relaxing lockdown rules, scientific advisor says. This is in Britain, where they don't have a Bill of Rights. The government should call off the dogs and stop harassing sunbathers in parks, one of its most senior advisors is urging. Ministers are expected to keep draconian measures in place in the UK as the death toll continues to rise in the UK. Again, a death toll without a context. They've completely divorced it from any context of the overall population. They've completely divorced these coronavirus deaths from any context of what people die from of other diseases and so forth. Completely removed that. The lockdown is being reviewed by the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, which meets on Wednesday and again on Thursday to consider its effectiveness 3 weeks after that council was announced by Boris Johnson. They understand that that council that is chaired by a chief scientific advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, will recommend that the lockdown stays in place, but then they will talk about the fact that, look, fresh air, sunshine, that's going to actually help people. They don't have a constitution that they can distance themselves from, but that's really what's going on here in the United States. A country in lockdown. The states that account for 86% of our gross domestic product are frozen. Yeah, we're not going to be able, as I said yesterday, that's why I spent so much time on iPencil. You don't realize how complex a free market is and a system that has evolved outside of government central control and demands. And once you start messing with something you don't understand, you're going to push Humpty Dumpty off the wall, and all the king's horses and all of his daughters and son-in-laws aren't going to be able to put it back together again. Democracy. We live in a country where we elect our leaders to make decisions. We do not relegate, delegate, and give over those decisions to people, no matter how smart they are, said Mike Huckabee. Exactly right. We don't give them to people who haven't been elected by we the people. We don't give those powers to them. They don't have powers that are not enumerated in the Constitution. They have assumed those powers, but they have no authority. And that's why I say the Christians are the ones who need to step up and step up against this. and yet they are blindsided by Romans 13. No, you don't have the king in this country is the Constitution. These people are simply unfaithful stewards who have sworn an oath to the king, the Constitution, and have now turned their backs on that oath and on the king and doing whatever they wish. They do not have any authority in this issue. You have no obligation to obey them. And a matter of fact, even if we didn't have the Constitution as king, you should obey God rather than men. And remember that when the Berlin Wall came down, the seminal event was a church meeting where the people said, we've just had enough of being locked up in cages. And they marched out of that meeting and they went straight to the wall and defied the guards to shoot them as they were singing hymns. And the guards stood down, and that began a turnback of that corrupt system that was ready to collapse. And I suggest to you that we have a corrupt system in Washington that has gotten so far removed from anything that was ever imagined or described or anything they have authority for. If we stand together and we stand up against these people, they will have to stand down. But if we stand up one by one, they will take us out one by one. We will hang separately if we don't hang together. And the people who founded this country understood that. Huckabee's comments on Fox News came after Fauci had an interview on CNN with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper asked him, will we be allowed to have an election this year, President Fauci? I mean, this is what it's come to. We've got some pettifogging bureaucrat who's been writing love letters to Hillary Clinton and who knows what he's been sending to Bill Gates all these years, has been meeting with him and others. Working in collusion with the World Health Organization, put out one phony pandemic after the other. Never, even with the Ebola pandemic, never attempted to do the types of things that they're doing today. And he's saying, well, I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee that you could physically vote at the polls. Well, I don't need you to guarantee it. And I don't need you to get out of the way. Quite frankly, here's the situation, folks. If we have martial law and the king of this country, the czar of this country, is some public health official at an agency for which there is no constitutional authority, and if he is imposing martial law de facto on all of us, there's no point in having an election. And all this stuff going back and forth is just a bunch of drama queens. It's all this stuff going back and forth between Trump and Cuomo and Biden and all that. It's as silly as the interview between the Cuomo brothers, where Fredo was talking about his nightmare and how his daddy appeared to him and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, you might as well bring that into the election as well. As an article from LouRockwell.com on Sarah Hedge points out, builders in this country are in denial about the real state of affairs here in this country. They don't realize how bad things are. And he goes back to 2006. He goes, yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago. He goes, but I was writing in LouRockwell.com at the time, and I pointed out to people that the party was over, and we saw what happened. And he goes, the spread of COVID-19 in 2020 has brought out the ham-handed instincts of government at all levels, and the current housing boom is over. Over. That's why I say, you burst a bubble, it's real hard to reinflate that. That's what Doug Casey said, and he's absolutely right. I liken it to pushing Humpty Dumpty off the wall. And I hope these guys can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But I don't know. I don't know. Are they smart enough to do that? They may be the smartest people in the room, but you know what? The analogy, when we talk about Adam Smith and the invisible hand and so forth, I think a better analogy that people can understand today is computers, you know, comparing a very advanced supercomputer with a central processing unit, it cannot outperform a distributed neural net computer system that has none of these computing nodes have anywhere near the capacity of one of these sophisticated CPUs. And yet, by distributing the processing and the distributing and the decision-making throughout a lot of processors that really don't have that much intelligence, especially not compared to that really smart guy in Washington. or the NIH or wherever the dictator happens to be at the time. A neural net can massively, massively outperform a CPU. But we have seen the failure of centrally planned economies. We've seen it in East and West Germany and North and South Korea. We've seen it in all these different communist countries. But, you know, we've just been given a trial run of communism, and a lot of people really like it. A lot of people really like it. And a lot of people really feeling their power, aren't they? All these petty bureaucrats that you see everywhere in your community and mine. The world's largest pork producer has shuttered key U.S. factory. Why? Because they had 200 people who tested positive for COVID-19. We don't know if that is serious, but this is about 5% of their employees. They have 3,700 employees there. So that's about 5% of the employees have tested positive for COVID-19. How many people, and again, when we look at this, the cruise ships, I talked about this. I said, let's go back and look at the cruise ships because that was really a worst case scenario. Not only, you know, it's not like a place where these people are working together in a pork producing factory. No, they were living together. They were eating at buffets and all this sort of thing in close quarters, tight quarters, and confined. And these were people who had a lot of comorbidities and other health issues. And yet, when we look at the fatality rate, especially considering the age, it really was not that severe. And the most important thing is that only about 17% of the people got infected. And of those, only half even had any symptoms. So when you look at this and you say, oh, well, this is terrible. You know, it is terrible if we're going to lose our food supply now because we're going to start shutting things down. We can set these people aside. We can clean up the factory. But instead, they're going to shut the whole factory down for 2 weeks. And we've already had a German scientist who said, well, I don't think it survives that long on surfaces and so forth. And if you're worried about your food supply and pork, just consider the fact that it's going to take a while for that pork to go through a lot when it is processed. It takes a while for it to get to you. Then when it gets to you, you're going to be cooking it. So I don't know. I haven't done any studies on this, but based on what the German scientist who did the studies of going through a house where the entire family had tested positive for COVID-19, he poured a lot of cold water on all of the cootie freakouts about how long the virus can survive on surfaces. But just understand this. The Federal Reserve is going to keep pumping money, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. This is the David Knight Show.
You know, we haven't seen the full effects of this shutdown yet. Well, we haven't seen the full effects of the bubble that's been created by the Federal Reserve. And, you know, as Mises Institute talks about, even if the Fed keeps pumping money, we still may see deflation. Those of us at a certain age remember when the Federal Reserve and Nixon and Gerald Ford could not whip inflation now. Remember that? They had the buttons. Let's all whip inflation now. Yay! how did they get that inflation? And why weren't they able to whip it? I mean, they had the Federal Reserve. They had the smartest people in the world running our economy and our monetary system, right? Why couldn't they fix that? And then, of course, that inflation then turned into stagflation under Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter and his malaise said, well, we're never going to see the halcyon days of America again. He was wrong because what Reagan did was he took off government oppression in the form of taxation, let people actually live their lives. That kind of, you know, the confiscatory tax rates that they put on people that caused that kind of stagflation are nothing compared to what Trump and these idiots, Republican and Democrat, have allowed the bureaucracy to impose on us now. A total shutdown. Never seen anything like this before. And so the question is, Are we going to have deflation? Are we going to have inflation? Are we going to have stagflation, the stagnant economy, along with inflation? Are we going to have hyperinflation like we've seen during the Great Depression, the Weimar Republic? You know, they had some pretty smart bankers there in Germany as well. They weren't able to get their way out of that. You know, what is going to happen with this? Well, we don't really know. And the Federal Reserve isn't really going to be much help either. You know, just printing out phony money, it's really not going to save us. But we do have a Federal Reserve, another board member. You know, these people are increasingly talking. Even though they are not, by the way, they're not doctors. I'm constantly reminded, I am not a doctor. Well, I don't have to be a doctor to see through phony numbers. I don't have to be a doctor to understand what the political agenda of these people is. I don't have to be a doctor to understand what the Constitution says. I don't even have to be a lawyer to understand the Constitution. You can understand it as well. Just read it. If you need some help, you know, get Richard Proctor's book, Saving the Constitution. By the way, it's a good time to train yourself and your kids on that. He's got a book for kids as well. Constitution, if you can keep it. But folks, we've had one of the Fed Reserve chairmen say, well, you know, we're going to have ID tracking and vaccines. We're going to have to set up, biometric tracking. Now we got another one. Neil Kashari, another Federal Reserve governor of us. How many governors do we have? Anyway, he says America should be ready for 18 months of shutdowns. Why? Oh, because another bureaucrat says so. You know, this is a guy with an agency that is private, just like the CDC. It's privately funded, largely. These quasi-governmental, they're not even fully government or really even government. The Federal Reserve's not federal at all. The president gets to appoint the chair. So what? He doesn't have any control over it. They brag about that. Oh, we have independence, and you can't audit us and so forth. And these bureaucrats, these non-governmental organizations, these private companies that operate to enrich their lives are controlling everything in our lives. And now they're talking about how they can use the medical pandemic to control your movements, to identify you, to surveil you, to track you, to keep you locked down for another 18 months. This is coming from the Federal Reserve. Here's another one of the bureaucrats, Scott Gottlieb at the unconstitutional FDA. This is a guy who, before he was recently replaced, was talking about mandating vaccines. Remember, President Trump said, yeah, you got to take the shots. You got to take the shots. Just shut up. You got to take the shots. Take the guns. We'll do the due process later. That became red flags, as you saw Democrats and Republicans everywhere enacting red flag gun legislation because President Trump said it's okay. And, you know, he has total authority, right, according to him. And he was saying, well, we could just take the shots. And that's what Scott Gottlieb was saying. Coronavirus, he says, would have been far more deadly than the Spanish flu if it had appeared in 1918, says Scott Gottlieb. I think that given the profile of this virus, it's likely it would have been far more deadly than the Spanish flu. Does he have any basis for saying that? Of course not. He's pulling that out of where the toilet paper that you hoard goes, right? He has no basis for saying this. He is just baselessly fear-mongering. Scott Gottlieb, the guy who has absolutely no respect for your informed consent or your medical freedom. You don't have a right to take any drugs unless he says so. You could be dying. But until he approves a ventilator, you know, don't change anything about where that ventilator is manufactured. Don't change anything about its design, its hardware, its software, the materials that are used on that. If it's a ventilator that's used in an emergency vehicle, you cannot use that in a intensive care unit? I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow these people to build this until my inspectors go by and take a look at that place. Well, you know, people are dying, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care about what kind of medicine you want to take, and he doesn't care if you don't want to take his vaccines. You know, we've had the FDA say you can't use your own stem cells. The FDA, just like we've seen with firearms, we've never seen the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. We've never seen them assume that they have authority to regulate an attachment to a firearm. But they did it with bump stocks because, you know, President Trump said do it. Never done that before. We have never seen the FDA say that they have the authority to regulate something that is taken out of your body and put back in. You know, like in vitro fertilization or like your own stem cells. But now they say we have the authority over that. You cannot take your stem cells out. You can't extract some fat, put it in a centrifuge, and have some stem cells and culture them and inject them back in. You can't do that because I say so. They have no authority to do that. And, you know, when we look at this, I see a lot of fear-mongering that is still going on. with coronavirus. One of the articles that you'll see on the Drudge Report is like, this damages organs. It's like, yeah, pneumonia damages your lungs. Always does. Always does. And yet, it's interesting that nobody wants to talk about the stem cell trial run that was done. It was small. It only had 9 patients. They were in very serious condition. They were all elderly. It was done in Wuhan. It was reported by the Daily Mail, and I haven't seen it reported anywhere else. I've reported it. And they said not only did it cure all 9 patients, 100% cure rate, but unlike some of these other drugs, you know, there's side effects with hydroxychloroquine. There's side effects with some of these antibiotics like azithromycin and so forth. There's no side effects that they saw with stem cells. And the stem cells not only cured the coronavirus, but it healed the damage to their lungs. And that's why they won't talk about it, because they don't want you healed. They want you on their drugs. As I've pointed out before, the big pharmaceutical companies took to task a company that came up with a novel cure. They said, well, that's fine. You made several billion dollars. I think it was something like $12 billion. But they said, this is not what we want to be doing. This is not a sustainable business model. A sustainable business model is not to cure disease, said Goldman Sachs. You know, the people that President Trump brought in to run the financial side of his administration to make these decisions. You know, people like Steve Mnuchin going to decide when the economy is going to be opened up. No, Goldman Sachs people said, no. Your business model, what we want you to do is we want you to come up with treatments for chronic diseases. We want the conditions to remain. That's what a chronic condition is. We want that to persist. And we just want to come up with treatments, you know, things that people are going to continue to have to come back to us for. Because it continues to hurt. It continues to destroy my body or whatever. We don't want a cure. We want them to come to us for the Band-Aids forever. Because, you know, look at this. They cured that disease. And then the next year, their revenue went from 12 down to like $4 billion and then went down to less than $1 billion. That's not a business model, said Goldman Sachs. Come on, Big Pharma, you got to get your game up. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about vaccines. I'm going to play a short clip for you from Robert F. Kennedy. And I don't think you're going to want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Robert F. Kennedy's comments about Bill Gates sitting on my desk came out, I think, maybe the end of last week. And I had a doctor, is how he identifies himself on Twitter, from the National Health System, NHS in the UK, came back to me, and he was very upset that I was being very unfair to Bill Gates. He thinks Bill Gates is one of the greatest men who ever lived. Seriously. And he gave me his reasons for why he thinks Bill Gates is great. And I'll give those to you in just a second here. But before we do, I want to give you the comments from Robert F. Kennedy, who doesn't think that Bill Gates is one of the greatest guys. But he thinks that Bill Gates is obsessed with vaccines. He thinks that Bill Gates is fueled by a messianic conviction. He thinks that Bill Gates believes that he is destined to save the world with technology and a godlike willingness to experiment on the lives of lesser humans. That's an exact quote from RFK Jr. Let's play a little bit of what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had to say. Video clip number 2.
Like the CDC, we have the example of Julie Gerberding, who was CDC director from 2002 to 2009, and then went on to become the head of Merck Vaccines. Is it common for CDC and FDA employees to use this kind of revolving door?
Well, there are many, you know, there are revolving door problems with all of our federal agencies and all of our state agencies.
Regulatory
There's a phenomena
capture.
That is very well documented
Corruption.
Called a agency capture,
yeah,
which is a phenomena or a dynamic by which the agency that that's supposed to protect the American public from bad drugs or from pollution or what have you ultimately becomes a subsidiary or a sock puppet for the industry that it's supposed to regulate. And indeed, that's what we see with the CDC. The head of CDC from 2002 to 2009, as you point out, was Julie Gerberding. She did a number of billion-dollar favors for Merck. She silenced a whistleblower who was William Thompson, who is still a scientist at the CDC, who wanted to tell the public that testing of Merck's vaccine showed that particularly the MMR vaccine was causing autism in black boys and other people who got the vaccine on time, and that the scientists had been ordered to destroy data showing that effect, and that they went ahead and published the study, lying about it to the American people and to physicians. And Julie Gerberding did a huge favor to Merck by having that scientist punished and then silenced. She arranged for Merck to get the monopoly to the multi-billion-dollar MMR vaccine and to make sure Glaxo could not sell its vaccine in this country. She approved the HPV vaccine, Gardasil, which is another Merck product. She approved the chickenpox vaccine and silenced whistleblower Gary Goldman, that is another doctor who said this vaccine is going to cause a shingles epidemic. Merck then not only got the chickenpox vaccine, but it also was able to market a shingles vaccine. She retired in 2009, and she was made president of Merck's vaccine division in 2010 with a salary of about $2.5 million, I think about $5 million in stock options. CDC is actually a vaccine company. CDC has a total budget of about $11 billion a year. It spends $5 billion of that buying vaccines from those four companies and making sweetheart deals that are much higher, where we pay with taxpayer money much more for the vaccines than they pay for the exact same vaccine in Europe.
Yes, and that's basically RFK Jr. talking about the corruption in the regulatory agencies and how the CDC is actually, buying and selling at a profit these vaccines. But he went on to talk specifically about Gates in an op-ed piece. He said, vaccines for Bill Gates are a strategic philanthropy that feed his many vaccine-related businesses, including Microsoft's ambition to control a global vaccine ID enterprise, ID 2020, so forth, and to give him dictatorial control over global health policy, the spear tip of corporate neo-imperialism. Well, I would just say that it's more accurately, let's not use imperialism. It's really a technocracy. Gates' obsession with vaccines, says RFK Jr., seems fueled by a messianic conviction that he's ordained to save the world with technology and a godlike willingness to experiment with the lives of lesser humans. Promising to eradicate polio with $1.2 billion, Gates took control of India's National Advisory Board, and he mandated 50 polio vaccines, up from five. So they originally had five polio vaccines for kids up to the age, before the age of 5 years old in India. He upped that from five to 50. 50 vaccines just for polio by the time they got to be five. Indian doctors blamed the Gates campaign for a devastating vaccine strain polio epidemic that paralyzed 496,000 children between 2000 and 2017. In 2017, the Indian government stopped it. They dialed back Gates' vaccine regimen, and they evicted Gates and his cronies from the NAB. That's the National Advisory Board in India. Polio paralysis rates dropped precipitously. In 2017, the World Health Organization reluctantly admitted that the global polio explosion is predominantly vaccine strain, meaning that it is coming from Gates' vaccine program. The most frightening epidemics in Congo, in the Philippines, and in Afghanistan are all linked to Bill Gates' vaccines. By 2018, three-quarters of the global polio cases were from Gates' vaccines. In 2014, the Gates Foundation funded tests of experimental HPV vaccines developed by GlaxoSmithKline and Merck on 23,000 young girls in remote Indian provinces. Approximately 1,200 suffered severe side effects, including autoimmune disease and fertility disorders. Seven of them died. Indian government investigations charged that Gates-funded researchers committed pervasive ethical violations, pressuring vulnerable village girls into the trial, bullying parents, forcing consent forms. Oh, we don't have to bother with that here in America. We just say you don't have any consent, right? And parents, we don't care what you think. And refusing medical care to the injured girls. The case is now in India's Supreme Court. Then in 2010, the Gates Foundation funded a trial of GlaxoSmithKline's experimental malaria vaccine, killing 151 African infants and causing serious adverse effects, including paralysis, seizure, febrile convulsions of 1,048 of the 5,049 children, about a fifth of them. He goes on to say, then in 2010, Gates committed $10 billion to the WHO, saying we must make this the decade of vaccines. Well, there you go. That helps to explain where we are right now. A month later, he said in a TED talk that the new vaccines, quote, could reduce population, unquote. In 2014, Kenya's Catholic Doctors Association accused the WHO of chemically sterilizing millions of unwilling Kenyan women with a tetanus vaccine campaign. Now, I had put up a couple of things about Bill Gates, and that caused this doctor from NHS, his Twitter ID is Stuart McM. Wash your hands, he says. That's his thing. And he said, Bill Gates, this is his opinion of Bill Gates. He says, Bill Gates has reduced polio worldwide by 99%. I just read you what really happened. He has spent billions of dollars reducing the scourge of malaria. Yeah, and I just told you what he did with his malaria drugs. He has spent billions improving water and sanitation. He has done more to reduce child mortality than any single person. Yet you vilify him? Astonishing, he said. That's right, I do vilify him. And anybody who knows the real record here of what he has done should understand what this is really about. I said, I don't accept your facts. I said, Gates presumes to tell me that I must have a vaccine without informed consent. He funds technology to track our compliance, to inventory us like livestock. He talks about the necessity of population reduction. You worship him like a god. Hashtag Gates of Hell. And I tell you what, you should go back and familiarize yourself with the truth about what happened with polio vaccine that was pushed by him, the truth about what happened with malaria vaccines, the truth about what happened with HPV vaccines. Understand the big money that's being made by Gates and the CDC. All right, we got to take a break. Before we do, folks, if you have immune issues, understand that one of the things that can help you to deal with that is vitamin D3, our winter sun. Why do we call it winter sun? Well, because your body naturally makes vitamin D3, but when the government tells you you can't go outside and the cops chase you down and beat you if you do, you might want to get some vitamin D3 because that's really the effective way to help your immune system. It doesn't fight the virus directly, but it helps to order your immune system. Even the blessed NIH tells us that. So it must be true, right? It is true, actually. InfoWarsStore.com, you can get it 50% off.
Speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Make no mistake about it, this pandemic has one way out, and that is mandated vaccines and tracking. As a matter of fact, even the tests, which some people pointed out, well, you know, we got to get these tests. And I said, well, why don't you just flip a coin? Because a coin only has two possibilities, but this coronavirus test has four. You can get a positive, you can get a negative, you can get a false positive, you can get a false negative. Now, I don't know what the percentages are on that. Does anybody know what the percentages are on that? Has anybody tested their test? But let me tell you this. When they take a swab of your saliva, which is what one of these tests is going to do, they can also get your DNA information. And they can map that to you. That's another side effect of this. But just to go back and recap some of what was said, as I pointed out, this guy says, Gates has essentially eradicated polio. No, that's actually not true. As I pointed out, he had upped the number of polio vaccines for a kid before the age of five in India to 50 polio shots. 50 polio shots. That's way beyond the totally out of control vaccine mandates being put on people here in America. But if we don't push back, that's what they're going to do to us as well. And as they started having a polio epidemic that paralyzed 500,000 children over 7 years in India, the government kicked Gates out. This NHS doctor from the UK maybe doesn't understand that. I guess he hasn't seen that in the press releases that he reads exclusively. That's all he apparently reads. You know, these doctors, we see so many people who say, well, you know, medical experts have told us this or that. You know what the medical experts typically read? They typically read the propaganda from the big pharmaceutical companies and the Gates Foundation. Just because they've got a medical degree doesn't mean that they know anything or have any judgment. You should do your own due diligence because it's your body. That's why you get a second opinion. That's why they don't always agree on this. It is a practice. They're still practicing. But the HPV vaccines, again, 23,000 young girls in Indian province, about 1,200 of them had severe side effects, autoimmune disease, fertility disorders, 7 of them died. And the fertility thing is a recurring theme with Bill Gates, who says that he wants to use vaccines to reduce population. Well, one of the ways that you do that is to make people sterile, and they have found them doing this. As a matter of fact, in 2014, after the Kenya doctor, Catholic doctor said, we think you're sterilizing girls with these vaccines, they denied it. With the tetanus vaccine. WHO denied it vehemently. But then independent labs found a sterility formula in every vaccine that they tested. And finally, the WHO admitted that, yeah, we've been developing that sterility vaccine for over a decade. And as RFK Jr. points out, similar accusations have come from Tanzania, Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines. This is a worldwide agenda of population reduction, and giving people polio, not a polio vaccine. And then yet we see this article from ABC News, more polio cases now caused by vaccine than by wild virus. This is ABC News. 4 African countries have reported new cases of polio linked to the oral vaccine. As global health numbers show, there are now more children being paralyzed by viruses originating in vaccines and in the wild. And this is being put out by the World Health Organization. And we see, however, that the Daily Beast, I saw this headline on the Drudge Report, and I thought, oh, good, how the hunt for the coronavirus vaccine could go horribly wrong. Yeah, there's a lot of things that could go wrong when you rush a vaccine to market. Just ask Fauci, who rushed the H1N1 vaccine to market in only 4 months, Pandemrix. The lawsuits are still in the courts for people who've been damaged by that. But he vouched for its safety. And then, you know, this year he was adamant. Oh, well, you know, we got this procedure we go through and we can't rush it. You know, it's going to take 18 months. So we got to keep everybody locked down for 18 months. When in 2009, he pushed through that dangerous vaccine in just 4 months. And there were more problems from the swine flu vaccine than there were from the swine flu itself. And they're back at it again. Yeah, this headline from the Daily Beast is not about how the vaccines are bad, but how the anti-vaxxers are bad.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
As I said, when I saw the headline in the Drudge Report, how the hunt for a coronavirus vaccine could go horribly wrong. Yes, that's right. If you rush a drug to market without testing it, and of course, as Del Bigtree has pulled out the discussions, the public discussions. I mean, they didn't even try to hide it. But of course, most people are bored into sleep by watching these meetings and discussions. But fortunately, he went through, kept himself awake, and pulled out scientist and doctor after one after the other talking about how, you know, we really haven't done any long-term testing of the effects of these vaccines. We test them for a year and a half or so, but we haven't done any long-term testing. They do know that things like the MMR vaccine do not actually convey immunity. That's why they started loading them up with toxic adjuvants to irritate your immune system. Toxic adjuvants that can trigger autoimmune disease in certain people. And yet, even with that, they don't convey lasting immunity. That's why they said, well, you're going to have two MMRs. Right. No, now you're going to have three. Because they started having outbreaks of measles where they found that patient zero had been vaccinated multiple times. So the solution is, when this thing fails, more of it. That's always the government solution, right? But this article that was on the Drudge Report, how the hunt for the coronavirus vaccine could go horribly wrong, was not about the risks of vaccination. No, it was about how evil anti-vaxxers are. And the thing they have to be careful of is what we're going to do. And here's the way it begins at the very top of this. It says, scientists are racing to develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus, and anti-vaxxers are waiting in the wings. See, we're the villains. Naturally, the global movement of vaccine opponents and skeptics who organize under the banners of, quote, choice and, quote, informed consent reacted differently. Now, I've said many times, these leftist rags like the Daily Beast focus on censorship, that focus on abortion and so forth. Yeah, abortion is not control over your body. It's your body and it's another body. Somebody else is involved. In half the cases, that other body is a different sex. In many cases, that other body is a different blood type. It always is a different DNA type. It is a different person with its own fingerprint and so forth. So this is not strictly about your body. But in the case of vaccines, all these leftists like the Daily Beast, this really is a pro-choice issue. It really is about my body, my choice. That's what we talk about, informed consent. And they put this in quotes, and they have contempt for those concepts. They say activists have amassed considerable political power over the last several decades, these anti-vaxxer activists. And scientists say their propaganda is that, see, we are propaganda. The CDC is not propaganda. The World Health Organization is not propaganda. Fauci is not propaganda. Their propaganda is a major reason the U.S. has seen a recent resurgence of measles. No, it's actually, we're getting people to read the inserts. We're getting people to understand that there is a secret vaccine court. In 1986, they were given legal immunity because their products were not conveying immunity, but they were had a lot of adverse effects. And they said, if you don't give us legal immunity, we're not going to be able to make vaccines. It'll put us out of business. And so if you know about this secret vaccine court that was created to protect these people, you have to go to the special master and go through a kind of arbitration process. And they have put out $4 billion worth of awards, but their awards are very, very tiny for the damage that's done. Not anything at all like you would get in a jury trial. And most of the people do not prevail because the standard of proof in a non-jury trial like that especially is so high. Nevertheless, in 2019, the World Health Organization ranked vaccine hesitancy as one of the top 10 global health threats. And so now, surprise, surprise, in 2020, we're going to lock you down until you stop hesitating about your vaccines. We're going to teach you a lesson. That's what this is all really about. You understand that, don't you? I think you do. This year, Gallup found that 84% of Americans said it was important for parents to vaccinate their children. That was down from 94% in 2001. And then they quote in this Daily Beast rag article, Del Bigtree, CEO of the anti-vaccination group Informed Consent Action Network. And he's not really anti-vaccine. He's saying, look, you need to understand what the risks are. They need to be honest about this. And they have consistently misrepresented this information. But anyway, he told the Daily Beast that he had grave concerns about the coronavirus process. And they say Bigtree, who has no medical training, said if a vaccine proves safe, then it should be, quote, made available to high-risk individuals, but that everyone else should be permitted to develop natural, stronger, more thorough herd immunity to coronavirus without a vaccine. Now, let me ask you this. Would Daily Beast ever point out that Bill Gates has no medical training? Does the writer who put together this piece of propaganda for Bill Gates, does this writer have any medical training? Do you need to have medical training to see the reports that come out of this vaccine court, to see the damages that happened? Do you have to have medical training to see the different things that are listed in the insert as side effects, possible side effects. Do you need to have medical training to look at statistics of people who've been injured in various countries by these vaccines? None of that has anything to do with medical training. You just need to have some common sense. You need to take a look at this stuff yourself. That's like saying to somebody, you don't have any right to say anything about the Constitution. You're not a lawyer. You don't have any legal training, so shut up. You don't have any medical training, so shut up. Well, I'm telling you, you should not be owned by people who parade their credentials around. Francis Bacon, who basically gave us the scientific method, talked about four different things, personal prejudices and so forth. But one of those, a key one of those, besides the pressure of the community and your own personal prejudices, a key one was people who argue from a position of authority. So I have credentials here. And this is what we have seen with the climate change fraud that's been put out there by the climate alarmists. Yes, I have a model, and I can't do a test of this because I'm predicting what's going to happen decades in advance. But trust me, because I work for a very big name university or institute or NGO or whatever, and I have a degree. Well, that's about worth what the paper that it's written on. You shouldn't discount all experts, but you should discount people who tell you to believe them because they are an expert. And so he goes on to say that this is one of the most dangerous things that we can think of, injecting people with products where the science has been rushed. That's what Del Bigtree said. Now, do you think that you need to have a medical degree to make that kind of a statement? See, that statement is so powerful and so plainly common sense and obvious the Daily Beast had to push back on it. Well, he doesn't have any medical training. You don't have to have medical training to understand that products need to be tested, especially medical products. And you might want to go back and see Del Bigtree's videos of all the people that work for the World Health Organization. So we're not really doing any testing on this stuff. According to a recent poll, writes the Daily Beast, 75% of U.S. adults said that they would likely get a coronavirus vaccine if it passed clinical trials. See, they'll wait for the experts to tell them that. But whether that's enough to provide herd immunity remains unclear. When it comes to measles, 90 to 95% of the population has to be vaccinated to guarantee sufficient protection, research has shown. And as I pointed out before, the idea that 90 to 95% of the population has to have herd immunity, that is only true if you have lasting immunity. If you don't have lasting immunity, as you do not get with MMR vaccine, then you can never achieve herd immunity. You will wind up having people who have been vaccinated multiple times being patient zero. And then you will have people who will be coming down with a disease that in childhood is typically innocuous, and it'll be very serious for them in later life. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. You know, we've had multiple whistleblowers come out talking about how the CDC is manipulating data. But again, understand that the end game on this is a vaccine. And I got a very interesting clip here about the Florida Surgeon General being taken out of a COVID briefing after he insisted that there has to be constitutional distancing until there is a vaccine. Here's that clip, video clip number 4.
So as long as we're going to have COVID in the environment, and this is a tough virus, we're going to have to practice these measures so that we are all protected.
Do you see a vaccine to be the time frame we're looking at?
Yeah, based upon what has been reported, probably a year, if not longer, is what some individuals have talked about.
Are there any questions for Secretary Mayhew? I know she's got to run, Secretary. Is there any questions for Secretary?
I have one for Rice and Sports staff.
in a long-term care facility after Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Then you've got Lima. Then you've got even smaller Clay County and Suwannee County. There. What do you...
start to see cases smaller facilities.
All right, so this lady is asking him to leave. Now, I don't know if they don't like what he's having to say or if he just had to had an important call from Bill Gates or Fauci. But you understand this is what they're all saying, right? Yes, I've been told it's going to be a year or more, you know, until you get your vaccine. You're not going to be able to do anything. And unless we have, this is in the environment, it's everywhere, and you're going to die if you breathe the air without a mask. And so we have to have this vaccine. You have to stay locked down. We can't get rid of this. It's going to be with us forever, and so is the tyranny. You understand this is where this is all headed. As a matter of fact, we're looking on Facebook, you know, the U.S. Surgeon. Now, that was the Florida Surgeon General. The U.S. Surgeon General has gotten a lot of flack for telling people that you don't need to have a mask. Stop buying the masks and so forth. And he's tried to pull that back. And there was actually... people had put out a video of the U.S. Surgeon General saying, stop buying a mask. But what Facebook does is it actually redirects it. You capture this on the phone. You click on that video from the U.S. Surgeon General, says, stop buying a mask. And what it does is it redirects you to the CDC. Yeah, we're not being controlled with information at all, are we? So let's talk about what some of these whistleblowers, these doctors, are saying about how the CDC is manipulating the death toll from COVID-19. This is a doctor from Montana, Dr. Bukacek. And the doctor says, few people know how much individual power and leeway is given to the physician, the coroner, or the medical examiner who signs the death certificate. She says, how do I know this? I've been filling out death certificates for over 30 years. We don't know why, with certainty, the cause of death is when we fill out our death certificates. That's just the way life is. We're doctors. We're not God. Autopsies are rarely performed. Even when an autopsy is done, the actual cause of death is not always clear. So physicians make their best guesstimate and they fill out the form. So even before we heard of COVID-19, death certificates are based on assumptions and educated guesses that go unquestioned. When it comes to COVID-19, there's an additional data skewer. That is, get this, there is no universal definition of a COVID-19 death. The CDC... updated from yesterday, that's April the 4th, still states that mortality, quote-unquote, data includes both confirmed and presumptive positive cases of COVID-19. That's from their website. And so you understand, she said, the translation is the CDC is counting both true COVID-19 cases and speculative guesses of COVID-19 the same. They call it all death by COVID-19. Why? Because we've seen them rig and load the statistics from the very beginning to try to make the fatality rate look higher. And then they want to, as they've got everybody scared about the fatality rate, exaggerating it, then they want everybody to look at how many people are now getting it because now they're going to roll out the tests. They didn't have any tests, but they came up magically with a fatality rate even when they didn't have the tests. And now they want you to, they want to manipulate the deaths as well. We have U.S. hospitals as a senator and doctor, Dr. Scott Jensen. He is a Minnesota state senator. He is also a medical doctor. And as I reported last week, he went on the Laura Ingraham show, talked about how the CDC was coaching people to fill out a death certificate, showed the seven-page document, talked about that at length. So you got two doctors here who have blown the whistle on this, saying this is highly irregular. They are rigging the statistics to push an agenda. And then he said there's more than that involved in this. He said right now Medicare is determining that if you have COVID-19 admission to the hospital, you instantly get a check for $13,000. That's right. If COVID-19 patient goes on a ventilator, you can also get $39,000, three times as much. Nobody can tell me after 35 years in the world of medicine that those kinds of things don't impact what we do. And as this is happening, we're seeing an Army field hospital for COVID-19 leaving Seattle after 9 days. It never saw a patient, says KUOW. We've seen the same types of things with the Navy field hospital ship in L.A., the Navy ship in New York, never saw a patient. We have seen these models grossly exaggerating the number of people that are there. We got the CDC saying 90% of those hospitalized have underlying conditions. In New York, it's 86% is what is reported. The elderly and disabled are put at the back of the line for COVID-19 care in at least 25 states. The same thing that we are seeing throughout Italy and Spain and so forth. Remember, first they started saying, well, you know, most of these people, they're over 80. Let's just not treat anybody that's over 80. Then they said nobody over 70. Then it was nobody over 60 and so forth. This is what government control of health care is always going to look like. This is why Bloomberg had that talk with a bunch of people in a hospital. He said, you know, we have to have the courage to tell people if, you know, you're an elderly person and you've got prostate cancer, I'm sorry, you've had a nice life. We're not going to spend any money on you at this point. And then we look at the tests. You know, these are presumed, when we talk about COVID-19, you know, just presume that they have it without the test. But now they have the tests. MSN is saying false negatives are raising doctors' doubts about the coronavirus test and its accuracy. And like I said before, who tests the test? Has anybody tested these tests for accuracy? Now they're saying this is a false negative. In other words, we test you for it and it says that you don't have it, but you actually do and you're going to go out in the general population. Well, shouldn't those of us who are put under house arrest, who are put in a tracking database because we get a false positive, shouldn't we be concerned about that as well? Why is it only the false negatives that we should be concerned about, especially when 50% of the people who have it don't even know they've got it, right? No symptoms. Rand Paul said, I had no symptoms whatsoever. There's now no trace of it. His immune system has eradicated the coronavirus, but he never had any symptoms. And they finished by saying this, if a patient presents with COVID symptoms, in other words, you have respiratory illness, but you test negative, they've still got it. They've still got COVID-19. In other words, they're not going to take no for an answer. If you die, no matter what you die of, if it's there, you died from it, not with it. And even if the tests say that they're negative, you still have it. yeah, but don't call it a hoax. We'll be right back.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Try to make some sense of it all. But I can see it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense at all. If you look at the CDC figures themselves, and are we to believe the CDC? Yeah, everything that they say is true, right? Well, Gateway Pundit looks at the CDC's statistics, the mortality surveillance system, their website, their actual, the CDC website says total U.S. deaths for the first 3 weeks of March are down 10% from the average of the first, the prior 4 years for the same 3 week period. And then they talk about data for the 12 week period for the quarter. Of course, the 12th week is not complete, but it is trending similar to the 11th week and will likely be down by 15%, about 8,700 deaths, less than expected. According to the CDC's website, in March of 2020, there were a total of 193,000 deaths in the United States. The average number of deaths in the U.S. for March over the 4 years prior were 227,000. So if you look at that, that's a decline of 15%. In other words, they're 85% of what the average of the prior 4 years were. So we actually have fewer people dying. So we have 34,000 less deaths in 2020 than we did in the prior 4 years for this period of time. 34,000 fewer deaths, but we've had 4,000 total U.S. deaths. So we must lock down the economy and we must distance ourselves from the Constitution and each other, of course, right? Does that make any sense? As Ron Paul points out, in the Ron Paul Institute, actually the article is by Ryan McMakin. He says, in March, U.S. deaths from COVID-19 totaled less than 2% of all the deaths. About 2.9 million people die in the U.S. each year from all causes. Flu season is often peaked sometime between January to March. This is a major driver in the total number of deaths, especially among the elderly. The average daily number of deaths from December to March is over 8,000 on average per day. Per day. We've had 4,000 people die to date from the coronavirus in the U.S. And we shut down the world. That's over a several-month period, right? At least a month and a half, if you want to talk about how long this has been going on. But typically, we'd expect about 8,000 people per day, double that amount per day to die. In March 30th article for The Spectator, former UK National Health Service pathologist John Lee noted that the current number of deaths from COVID-19 does not indicate that the UK is experiencing, quote, excess deaths. He says the simplest way to judge whether we have an exceptionally lethal disease is to look at the death rates. Are more people dying than we would expect to die anyway in a given week or month? See, that's the context that's not given with all this stuff. We'll see an article about, look at this, we had a guy who was a 21-year-old, healthy athlete, a coach, and he died from coronavirus. A multi-page article from a UK newspaper. You know, the guy I think was in Spain or Italy. And if you look at that article and you go to about page four, you'll see one sentence. He also had leukemia, which compromises the immune system. That's a tragedy that he died. But let's, you know, we're losing all the context of what happens in this life. During March of 2020, there were 4,053 COVID-19 deaths, according to the World Odometer. That is 1.6% of the total deaths in March of 2019. For context, we could note that total deaths increased by about 4,000 from March 2018 to March 2019. So for March, the increase in total deaths is about equal to what we already saw as a pre-COVID increase from March 2018 to March 2019. But if you look at it for a four-year period, it's down by 15%. And we would expect that twice the number of people that have died would die in a single day. Besides, and that's cumulative for COVID-19. So the cumulative number over 4 to 6 weeks, maybe it's over 2 months. I don't know how far back they're going with this, but it's at least 6 weeks, I would say. That number is half of what we'd expect people to die this time of year with flu season. We must ask what percentage of total deaths warrants an international panic. Is it 5%? Is it 10%? That question has never been addressed. Well, you know, it has, actually. I disagree with Ryan. You know, I understand what you're saying, Ryan. But you understand that Fauci has said not a single case of coronavirus will be locked down or vaccinated or tracked with Bill Gates' surveillance system until they have not a single case, not a single death, but not a single case of coronavirus. Meanwhile, he points out there's a trend of attributing more of those pneumonia deaths to COVID-19 than to influenza. Although this doesn't actually mean the total mortality rate has increased, the CDC report says that the percentage of all deaths with influenza listed as a cause have decreased from 1% to 0.8% over the same time period. The increase in pneumonia deaths during this time period likely associated with COVID-19 rather than influenza. This doesn't necessarily represent a total increase in pneumonia deaths, just a change in how they are recorded. And I showed you the graph, was it 2 days ago? Friday, maybe? No, I wasn't here Friday. Maybe it was Thursday. And I showed you the picture of how, as they started their rules about tabulating COVID-19, the deaths from influenza just went straight down, unlike they typically do in a given year. In 2017, 2018, the flu killed 80,000 Americans, but there was no hysterical shutdown. The CDC called the 2018 season, that flu that year, was the H3N2. They called it an epidemic. They said that it killed an estimated 80,000 people. They reported at the time the 2017-2018 influenza epidemic is sending people to hospitals and urgent care centers. In every state, medical centers are responding with extraordinary measures. Staff are working overtime. They're setting up triage tents. They're restricting friends and family visits, and they're canceling elective surgeries. We're pretty much at capacity, and volume is certainly different from a previous flu season, said Dr. Talia, professor and chair of family medicine at the Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center in New Jersey. I've been in practice for 30 years. It's been a good 15 or 20 years since I've seen flu-related illness scenarios like we've had this year. Now, that was in 2017, 2018. We're hearing the same thing today that we heard back then. And I pointed out that 3 years ago, you had people in New York City saying, you know, they're not investing any money in these hospitals. We got patients in beds in the hallways. We've got no personal protective equipment. You know, this place is like a war zone, they said. Literally said that. I read you the reports from the New York papers at the time. All the same stuff they're saying today, except they didn't handle it this way. Now, you know, Mike Adams called me out yesterday, and I guess I really should not say anything else about this. As my wife told me, you know, just remember Proverbs 9. It says, don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. If you correct the wise, they will love you. Instruct the wise, they will be even wiser. But some people just don't get it. And so after attacking me once, I responded, because it's not being attacked by Mike. It's not being attacked by anybody. I've been called all sorts of things over the 8 years I've been here. Believe me, all sorts of things. But this is not about me. This is about a hair on fire misrepresentation of the facts that is burning down this country, burning down our freedoms, and begging, demanding that it be done, and attacking anybody who pushes back against this false narrative from the CDC. And so he's done it again. And I'll just give you a couple of his quotes, and I've just read you some of the statistics there. One of the things that Mike said in his video, he said, COVID is the number one killer in the U.S. That is a quote. Now, that is nothing but misinformation. As I was talking about the different things that kill people, understand we have 647,000 people who die from cardiac disease in the U.S. every year, the number one killer. That is 53,916 people per month on average, about one in four deaths. We've had 4,000 people die from COVID-19. If you don't think that Mike Adams is a neo-alarmist who is as out of touch with what's going on here as AOC with climate change, just understand that he says that something that has killed 4,000 people cumulatively is worse than something that kills 59,916 people per month. We haven't stopped having heart attacks, Mike.
You may be right. I may be crazy. Oh, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking for. It's too late to find. It's too late to change.
You know, one thing that must not get out is the idea that this is not something that's completely novel and scarier than any other disease that we've ever seen. And again, I go back to one of the previous pandemics that was promoted by Francis Collins at the NIH and by Fauci, who was, right there at his side, the Ebola outbreak. And they couldn't do enough to bring Ebola patients in and parade them around without proper precautions and so forth. We had a couple of nurses who came down with it in Dallas after one individual died with Ebola. That was a much better story, quite frankly. 80% of the people who would get it would die. I was very concerned about that. So at that point in time, we did our preparedness and so forth. But now we got to think that this is something that's absolutely different. That's the narrative. You got to not lose the plot here. The central plot line is we have a MacGuffin. You know, that's what Alfred Hitchcock called the thing. It's the MacGuffin. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything, right? This MacGuffin is so dangerous and so, it's so pervasive everywhere that we've all got to stop and lock down. And we've got to suspend the Constitution, although we're not going to declare martial law. We're going to suspend the Constitution in every way. And we're not going to be let out until this thing is completely eradicated. As long as it's around, you just heard the Florida Surgeon General say, well, as long as it's out there and until we have a vaccine, you're going to have to stay locked down. And that's the plot. Going to have a vaccine that is not tested. That's going to be part of it as well. And all of the rest of the stuff that is happening, as we look at the daily escalation of these different issues, that's all just psychological conditioning for the agenda that they already had there. The most important thing is that you don't look at any of the treatments. Don't even talk about stem cell treatment that had 100% cure rate and repaired any damage that was done to lungs. Don't even talk about that. We'll completely silence that. We'll talk about some other drugs, and we'll talk about hydroxychloroquine, and then we'll feature when somebody says, well, you know, we did a variant of hydroxychloroquine. We did chloroquine. And look at this. We found that some people had some heart issues with it and so forth. They feature that issue. Look, that drug has been around since the mid-1940s for malaria, for lupus, for autoimmune disease, and so forth. The side effects of that are well known. They were giving it in a very high dosage and so forth. But these types of articles are put out there to demonize any possible cures. One of the articles points out, actually from Bloomberg, coronavirus drug price, the cost may be only $1. That's all you need to know. That's why they're pouring cold water on it. Because, again, the model from big pharmaceutical companies, as Goldman Sachs said, was to make as much money as possible and not to cure anything. We want to have this as a chronic disease that we continually give people medicine for and sell it to them for a very high price, by the way, too. And then, of course, with this, there is a surveillance and tracking and social control aspect to it. That's really it as much as it is profit. But we've had a head lice drug that kills the novel coronavirus. Well, it's not all that novel if it can be killed by a 70-year-old malaria drug or a head lice drug, is it? Do you have to cower in fear about this? You know, the amazing thing to me is to see how this agenda has been completely modeled and changed from both the gun control models, the mandatory vaccine models for measles, as well as the climate change models. Climate change is what most accurately represents this. The plan for a very long time has been to establish a new society. They know that we're in the midst of a fourth turning. It's typically accompanied by a massive economic disaster. Typically, that doesn't end until we have a big war. Last time we had a fourth turning was the Great Depression of World War II. And so they expect that something like that's going to happen. They want to be in control of which direction it's going to go. They want it to go in a more statist direction. And at the end of all of this, the plan is to have the UN 2030 agenda where we're locked into the cities. Our every movement is controlled. We don't own anything. We don't have any ability to travel. We're put on universal basic income. They have now initiated all these things. Now, they will probably remove them in stages. Most of them will be removed. But they are conditioning us right now for that Agenda 2030. And they are setting up the conditions that are going to create the economic depression and the wars to follow. And so I think it's very important that we understand and not lose the plot, that we understand that the CDC has always used the kind of rhetoric in the anti-vaxxers like Daily Beast and so forth. It's why it concerns me so much and why I spoke out about this yesterday. I said, when I saw that video from Mike Adams, and he is saying, well, these people just don't understand that there's any such thing as germs. They may be time travelers because they don't know anything about what's happened about germs in the last 200 years. And so this is what we've always heard from people who are pushing mandatory vaccines and want to take away our informed consent. You anti-vaxxers, you just don't even understand anything about disease or germs, right? That's what we've always heard. You say that COVID-19 is the number one killer in the U.S.? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. To say that if you want to cure this coronavirus before you're required to take a vaccine, then you need to wear a mask. No, I don't, Mike. It's not a cure. And becoming submissive to this constitution distancing is not going to help anybody. So the straw man argument is to say that those who disagree with us are saying that there's no virus. That's not the case. I'm saying this virus is not as novel as we've been told. The solutions, however, are very novel. And, you know, when we look at the sarcastic things that are said, you know, oh, you don't believe in germs. That was about 5.5 minutes into his video. You people are like the flat earthers. You sound like you're pandemic denialists. That's his term, pandemic denialists. See, this is the kind of terminology that's used by people who have a religious attachment, who are typically alarmists. And so now what we've done is we've taken all of the structure for UN 2030 agenda and for climate change alarmism. And we've now just removed that base and we've put in coronavirus. We've taken out climate change, we've put in coronavirus. We still have models that have false assumptions. We still have models that have bad data in them. And of course, those kind of models give you garbage out. But they've already been able to enact all of the things that they ever wanted to do because they've now got everybody saying, well, we're all going to die. And so as I said that yesterday, Mike came back and he said, well, I toned down this article because the first thing that I did out here said that I was reminded that David Knight had recently had a heart attack. It's like, Mike, I can take it. You know, heart attack, by the way, not coronavirus, is still the number one killer, but yeah, I can take it. Go ahead. Hit me with your best shot. His best shot, by the way, was to say that I don't understand the difference between how the CDC generates their statistics. And he said, well, you know, they estimate the people who have regular flu, and then they have to estimate the number of deaths that they have. And so, you know, that's perfectly legitimate. That's fine. But just understand that when they estimate both the numerator and the denominator, when they're doing a ratio, then we are pretty far away from any factual information. But see, the problem is that although they've got an estimated numerator, estimated denominator for flu, they have a tested, what they said was tested, an actual deaths for the coronavirus. And so what they're doing is they're comparing estimated flu to actual coronavirus. That's the problem. And you don't have to have a medical degree to understand that. It's just common sense. You don't even need to do the math to understand where the estimation is. And he just misrepresents what I had to say. David Knight claims the seasonal flu kills 10% of the people it infects. No, I said that was where they began with their estimations of deaths and their estimations of actual tests. And so they said, well, we've tested this many people, but we know that 10% of the people are not dying, and I said that. But he says that I said that 10% of the people are dying. Look, we can go back and forth on these statistics, but you have to understand what the bottom line is on this. To say that I am saying that 10% of the people die from influenza, no, I'm not. I'm saying that you can't compare estimated to actual. And just understand where he's coming from. He says, I've now joined the chorus of pro-Trump apologists who apply bad math. Well, Mike, you don't watch anything I do you? It's absolutely amazing. I would suggest that before you comment, you actually look at what I have to say. And, you know, when you say that people need to be taken down who are pushing back against your neo-alarmism, you say you're not a censor. Well, you know, that's exactly what the progressives say. It's very progressive of you to say that. Folks, the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com are some of the things that they don't want you to see, some of the things that are going to help you to calm your immune system, to build your immune system. We have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. That's 50% off. Get your base vitamins and minerals. But Vitamin D3 Winter Sun, that is very, very important for your immune system's health.